Let's keep things in context as we go into 1 John 4. And I do ask for your prayers, as I always do, because I always need them because I'm a sinner. Remember, John was writing this because of false doctrines being taught and things that were brought into the world. And he was writing to the church of God. He calls them little children, disciples. We've just gone through chapter 3. We talked about how God loves us, how the seed of God remains in us, and how the world hates us, and how we have the Spirit of Christ within us that keeps us in His love and in His mercy, that causes us to love Him and know the truth and serve Him. And verse 24 of chapter 3 said, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him." Just plainly saying that if you do good and you do walk in righteousness, it's because God is within you. And if God is within you, he dwells in you, and you dwell in him. You cannot be lost. You cannot finally fall away, no matter what happens in this world. You're bought with the blood of Christ, and nothing can take that away, period. Now here's the point, and hereby we know that he abideth in us. We know. There's that assurance. There's that surety. There's that, I'll use the word confidence, that when we love each other and when we love God, as it has been taught us in the entire Bible, from the beginning, but especially in this epistle of John, of how we are to love each other. False doctrine oftentimes, well, it always brings division, but oftentimes it brings hard feelings, it brings splits and things in church bodies. John is telling us to love each other and to contend for the pure doctrine. He said, we know, we have an assurance that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Now, we have the Spirit of Christ. We are taught of Christ by the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. That gives us an assurance because God hath written it upon our hearts. We have that knowledge in a heartfelt knowledge. We see by faith. We do not see by our eyes. But we have faith. We have confidence. We have a knowledge. We have assurance. We believe and we know. We are sure that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we'll talk a little bit of that in a minute. But John begins chapter 4. Beloved, he's talking to the brethren of the church, brethren and sisters. He said, believe not every spirit. Now, keeping in context, spirit, we see the Spirit of God. We see the Spirit of Christ, which is mentioned in Peter's writing and telling about those who prophesied beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow because of the Spirit of Christ anointing that was within them. And we see the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, which teaches us today. We also see in the world the power of the prince of the air, that is the spirit of wickedness and evil. We know he's speaking about Satan. We know Satan is not a man. We know Satan is not an angel. We know Satan is not God, certainly, although he desired to be as God. My point with that is the spirit of wickedness, the spirit of evil. And we see different spirits in Scripture. There is a spirit of Antichrist in this world. We sing a song in the book, I Would See Jesus. And it makes the point in that song that would to God that everyone could see Jesus because there would be no more war. There would be no more hatred. There would be no more sin. We know that's not going to happen while we live in this world. But the point being made, where God is, there is love. Where the Spirit of God is, there is unity and love and peace. John says, believe not every spirit. We have the spirit of wickedness that, I'll use an old saying, gnaws at us constantly with the devil's teeth biting and gnawing at us. Doubtings, unbelief, hatred, lust, anger, any emotion of sin is by a spirit of wickedness. and a spirit of evil. But we must also understand, taking this in context of how it's written and what it's about, that there are spirits of men. Peter, unhappy with a group of people, asked the Lord, "Shall we call down fire from God out of heaven and devour them?" As did Elijah. And Jesus said, "Ye know not what manner of spirits ye are." Man has a spirit. God formed man from the dust of ground, breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. The Bible mentions body, spirit, and soul. Your soul is your being, both all together. Your body and your spirit. Your spirit is your ghost. It came from God. It will never die. Those that God has saved will be in heaven in glory with Him. Those left in the state of Adam will inherit the lake of fire. But my point is the spirit of man, the being of man, what man teaches from the world and not the spirit of Almighty God. He said, "Behold," he said, "beloved, believe not every spirit." You can get up on Sunday morning and you can turn on the cable TV and you can find every flavor of man-made religion in the world. I had a chaplain when I worked for the city of Birmingham. He used to ride with me. He wanted me to be a chaplain. I didn't care anything about that. Just did not. Maybe I was wrong. I don't know, but I didn't feel led to get into it. But my point with that is, he said, "We have a chaplain for every denomination in the world." I said, "No, you don't." He said, "Yes, we do." I said, "No, you don't." "But why don't we?" I said, "Because you don't have one for Primitive Baptists." And more even so, we don't need one. We have the Lord, and that's who we pray to and believe and love. Make a point with that. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Every doctrine comes from a spirit which is untrue, except the doctrine of Christ and Him crucified. We're going to talk about that. The Son of God, the second person of the Godhead, God Himself saved His people from their sins. Beloved, believe not every spirit. You turn the TV on Sunday morning, you've got all these different flavors of man-made doctrine, man-made religion, anything appealing to the flesh can be found in the world. It is appealing to the flesh, and it comes from the flesh. It does not, and it is not, pleasing to a born-again child of God. The only thing pleasing to one whom God hath given life, to one whom God hath quickened, to one has called and justified, that person, that one, is only satisfied truly in the knowledge that salvation is of the Lord and the Lord alone, and all glory belongs to the Son of God. That's why John says, believe not every spirit. Don't believe all these things these people have come in teaching you. You just went through the book of Acts. We had Judaism. We had agnosticism. All sorts of different winds of doctrine which denied that Christ was God, that denied that Christ came in the flesh, that denied that He is the second person of the Godhead. Some He was just a prophet, some this, some that, same other. But to go back to Matthew 16, when Jesus asked them, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Some say they are Elijah or John the Baptist or one of the prophets. And He said, "But whom say ye?" His children, His disciples, those that He had given life, who were there around Him, called by His Spirit into the grace of God. "Whom say ye that I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That is true doctrine. That doctrine comes from Christ Himself. And that alone will satisfy and comfort a born-again child of God when God blesses them and gives them repentance and calls them into the truth. John's writing to this church because of false doctrine. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. That doesn't mean go out here and get in this group for a while, and go over there and get in that group for a while, and go over here and get in this group for a while, and see which one suits your fancy better, because that's flesh. That is flesh. That is flesh. He said, try the spirits, whether they are of God. He's going to tell us how to try the spirits. And he tells us why. Try the spirits. Believe not every spirit. Try the spirits. Judge the spirits. Judge the doctrine. Judge if it's truth or error. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Let me tell you this before I go any further. The purpose of all things in heaven and in earth, period. The purpose of God is that the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ, all man, all God, will be lifted up, exalted, and glorified in the kingdom of eternal heaven forever and ever and ever and ever. Yes, God loves us. Yes, God saved us in His purpose. All that is important. It's part of the doctrine. But true doctrine exalts the Son of God in Him alone, because the Father has exalted Him far above all other things. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the head of all things good and right. Now hereby know ye, child of God, the world does not know this. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. That's capital S, capital G. That's the spirit we read of in John's writing, which will bring into remembrance former things and teach us of Jesus Christ. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. This is how you know if doctrine is true. This is how you know this is the Spirit of God and not some spirit of flesh. Let me tell you, the Bible teaches us that Satan appears as an angel of light. He is a smooth-talking liar. He draws the flesh by shiny things. His name is Lucifer. That's no different in doctrine. Well, you help these people, you do these people, this is good. While all alone feeding his own belly or for his own glory or whatever purpose. We can read about those. 2 Peter chapter 2, talking about the days of Israel. There were false prophets then. There are false prophets today. Goes all the way back to Genesis 3. Satan, as he changed the word of God and beguiled Eve, and Adam rebelled. He says, hereby know ye, individual, person, child of God. Hereby know ye, yourself, sitting there, the Spirit of God. This is how you know if doctrine is true. This is how you know if this doctrine is of God and from God. Every spirit, every man, minister, teaching, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And we have a colon. It stands alone. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Let's take a minute. Jesus Christ. Jesus means Savior. Christ means anointed. All the way back to Genesis 3, we find a promise of He who would destroy the works of the devil. That would be from the seed of the woman, Eve. That makes Him a man. He would not be an angel. He would not be a cherub. He would be a man. And He certainly would not be a God, although God would be in the flesh. Incarnate, the second person of the Godhead. This is Christ mentioned, who would destroy bruised the head of Satan. From the very beginning, when Adam fell, God gives us knowledge of the Christ, the man, the seed of the woman, who would be anointed in fullness of the Spirit of God. Let me catch up. We cannot bear the fullness of the Spirit of God. We are sinful bodies. We cannot bear that. We would be consumed, which is why one reason God drove the man from the Garden of Eden. We cannot exist in the presence of God. This man would be a man, and he would be all man. Yet he would be our Savior. Jesus means Savior, who would save us from the death of sin that Adam fell into in rebellion against the God of creation. He would also be the Christ. That means the anointed. When John baptized him, he saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. There's a symbol of peace. In fullness of Spirit, the man who had no sin, inherited or committed or omitted, God Himself in the flesh. He was God in the flesh before the Spirit descended upon Him because His Father was God. She was a virgin, conceived of the Holy Spirit. Every spirit that confesseth Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, God in the flesh, is of God. Christ came into this world in the body, in the likeness of sinful flesh. Why is that? Because we were made in a body, we fell in a body, we sinned in a body. It was necessary to be redeemed, to be bought and paid for, to be saved from our sins, body, spirit, and soul. Christ bore a body to bear our punishment. Christ died in that body. Christ raised that body back up because we're made in a body. He redeemed our body. He saved our body. Now, as we cannot bear the fullness of the Spirit, every man is given a measure of faith. Well, if the Bible says every man is given a measure of faith and all men have not faith, then we have to rightly divide the word of truth and understand that those that have faith are those that are born of the Spirit of God. Who is born of the Spirit of God? Those the Father gave to the Son. Those the Son of Man quickeneth. This is true doctrine. If we go any other way, we're denying the finished work of Jesus Christ. If we go any other way, we're denying that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. John 19:30, he said, it is finished. What was finished? Salvation upon the cross of Calvary. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Salvation, eternal life was promised and given to each and every child of God. Who are they? Those the Father gave to the Son. When was that done? Before the foundation of the world. This is true doctrine. This and this alone is true doctrine. If we put it in the choice of man, the work of man, our works of righteousness, which dare not appear before the holy throne of God, they're described as filthy rags. There's no salvation in that. All that appeals to the flesh. Come on up here. You can do it. That's what the coach used to tell us in football. You can do it. You can do it. I'm going to tell you, we cannot do it. We could not do it. There was no way to do it. We were morally bankrupt. It's all in Christ who came in the flesh. And every spirit, I don't care who he is, what church he's a part of. I do believe the old Baptists strive to maintain the doctrine and practice of the first century church, or I wouldn't be here. That doesn't mean we've got a patent on truth. God reveals as God reveals. There are a lot of people that confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the Savior. He's God Himself. He's all God. He's all man. He suffered. He bled. He died. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He will be our deliverer as long as we are in this world. In the last day, He will deliver us into the kingdom and lift it up. He'll deliver the kingdom of the Father. Christ, anything less than that is an error. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. That is cut. That is dried. Hang it up. Any spirit, any ministry, any man speaking that teaches you you can come to God, that you can make a decision, that your works buy you a place in heaven, that your money buys you a place in heaven, as if God needed anything. Any doctrine that teaches you He was not God in the flesh, any doctrine teaches you that God left that body before He was crucified, any other doctrine is not of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. If we put salvation on anything other than the Holy Son of God, it is an error, and it is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Where does it come from? That wicked one, the devil. Whereof you have heard that it, the spirit of Antichrist, should come, and even now already is in the world. It's been manifested in Scripture since Genesis 3. As we went through Acts, it was manifested to us. The foundation of the church, the great burst of boom of growth. And God's children among the Gentiles, elect from before the foundation of the world, were being called into the church. He did away with the first that He may establish the second. There was Antichrist. There is Antichrist. Those that deny Christ, they deny His work, they deny His eternal sonship, they deny He is the living Word of God, they deny that He died and raised back up. Oh, He was a good man, He was a good prophet. He was, and He is, and He always will be, God, the second person of the Godhead. Period. 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 Exclamation point. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now it is in the world. Where are these doctrines that are troubling them came from? It goes all the way back to Genesis 3. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt not surely die. Adding a word to the Word of God. Changing the Word of God. Denying the Son of God. And it will be in this world until God destroys this world. Because Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And God suffers that to be. Ye are of God, that is precious, little children, disciples in the church, and have overcome them. Okay, somebody says, if we have overcome them, why do we suffer? Why are churches splitting? Why are there 50 different denominations of this group or that group or that group of religious orders? And I do not like the word religion, because true and undefiled religion is to visit the widows and fatherless in their affliction, and we don't see much of that today. Just like the old school law, service of the Jews, we see a lot of fanfare and hoopla, which means absolutely nothing to the Lord. God desires us to love each other, and John's getting to that again in just a moment. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them. They that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We're going to suffer in this world. Satan hates us because we belong to God. Those left in their own state of nature, the natural man, hate us because we are of God. Said last week, say it again, why is it we suffer so much in the world and people rise up and hate us and burn cities and do all the things that are being manifested to us right now? Because they hate what is right and good. He says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. What does he say? You may be deceived in this world. There are a lot of God's children led away in error, and I pray for them daily. I do not pray that God would give life to someone, because the Son of Man quickeneth whom He will. I pray for those that God hath given life, that God would give them the knowledge, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and grant them repentance, that glory might be to the Son of God. We suffer in this world. We have overcome them in this world, in the kingdom of God, in the church, in the doctrine God has delivered unto us, and the practice Christ established in the church. We may fall away. We may stop coming to church. We may have splits and divisions and fights. Lord knows we're all sinners. It's happened before and it'll happen again. But you cannot finally fall away when the Son of God appears, and at the last shout, the last trump, the voice of the archangel, when every child of God is called up, everyone the Father gave the Son will be there, because in God, in Christ, they have overcome them because they are of God. And that's God's work. Because greater is He, Christ, that is in you. You love God, we're fixing to see why, than he that is in the world. Hebrews 2, He defeated the devil. He defeated death, and he that had power over death, that is the devil. He is defeated already. Some people are like, there's going to be a great battle at the end. That's not going to be a battle. Christ fought that battle when he lowered himself to the hand of death and was nailed to the cross of Calvary, laid his life down, and raised it up again in 3 days and three nights. That victory is sure. Greater is he that is in you, the creator of heaven and earth, the living word of God, who was made flesh, than he that is in the world, the prince of the power of the air. The created being Satan, the eternal Son of God, is far, far, far greater. They, the people teaching these false doctrines, are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth then. John 8, about 47, and also in John 10, the Lord made the point, speaking to religious elite of the day, the Pharisees and Sadducees of the Jewish law service, ye hear not my voice, because ye are not my sheep. Establish who he was talking to. The religious elite of that day. Well, certainly they all had to be God's children. No, no, no. The Bible is true. Ye hear not my voice, because ye are not of my sheep. Some of them were his. All of Israel did not belong to God's people, or they were not God's people. God had an elect among the nation of Israel. God has an elect between every race of man, every tribe, every tongue, every kindred, every family that's ever been on the face of the earth. God has a people among them. My point with this is they are of the world. These people preaching this false doctrine. Let me reiterate, lest I be judged hateful. That's not my intent. The Bible proves that men can be carried away in false doctrine and lies. Do we see the Apostle Paul in zeal persecuting the church of God, imprisoning them, separating families, putting men and women to death, causing them, compelling them to blaspheme? There's the great apostle to the Gentiles, as he was in his nature. They are God's children that teach false doctrines because they don't know the truth. Speaking of these people, the context that John is speaking of, they are of the world. Therefore, speak they of the world. The gold, the silver, the money, can we say the prosperity doctrine of the mega churches? The power of man, the glory of man, the Armenian. All these things, all this teaching is of the world. These people John is speaking about are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world. They do not know Christ. God hath not revealed it unto them. If they are God's, they will be quickened and know that at some point between conception and death, it might be at their last breath. But they will, for they have to be changed. If they are not of God, then it's not given them to know, and they will never know. They're of the world. Therefore speak they of the world. And the world heareth them. Doesn't bother me so much the world hears them. What breaks my heart, and this comes to my mind, I've seen it so many times. These poor old widows, and I bring them up because I love the poor old widows. They're just so taken advantage of in this world. And they were in the day of the Jews also. Trying to live on $500-$600 a month they get from the government and Social Security because their husband's been dead 30 years and they're going to send half of it to some wolf in sheep's clothing on TV begging to save souls. Those dear, sweet children of God are deceived, and like the widow throwing in her mite, all they got. God bless them, and I pray for them daily. We are of God. Who's he talking about? The church of God. He that knoweth God, he that is born of God, he that God hath granted repentance, he whom God hath revealed himself unto, he that God hath written his law on his inner part, heareth us. Why do they hear us? Speaking of the ministry John is pertaining to in the days of the apostles, remember he was the last one, they were all dead but him. And it goes on into the ministry today. He that knoweth God heareth us. He understands true doctrine as it's taught in the ministry. God is his own interpreter. I came down here 24 years ago, hadn't been to church in several years, working as a police officer. I came down here seeking peace because of a lot of death that happened that I'd been exposed to with people I love. I came down here seeking peace. I didn't know the things I know now. I had an idea and asked the pastor here one time, Steve Southson, doesn't the Bible talk about God's elect? Doesn't the Bible talk about God's people? Those God loved, those God chose. I had no idea. I was so unsure whether I was a child of God or not. I felt miserable seeking peace. But I could hear what God was teaching through my brother Steve, who's now gone, I could hear what he was teaching from God's pure word. Salvation is the Lord. We're fixing to get into that. If you love God, God loved you first. God has a people He chose, He loved, He died for. They will stand with Him in glory. The devils in hell cannot stop that. We're of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Give that glory to God. Because God, as Christ, would raise up the dead, heal the blind, heal those who were deaf. God in Christ raises us from death, gives us sight to see Him by faith, and opens our ears and our heart to hear the truth of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, our Savior. He that is not of God heareth not us. Now the gospel is the means by which God calls to call His children into the obtaining of the glory of Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, 14. God uses the gospel to call His people, not to life, but to obedience and in the church. God does that. God calls foolishness preaching, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I can't do it. I'm nothing. I'm a sinner. It's all of God. God uses it, okay? And it's important, and we ought to be preaching and teaching Christ and Him crucified. But they that are of the world, they that are of God, this is not an excuse to keep your mouth shut and not preach, okay? But those that are left in their own state of nature, even a child of God not yet born of the Spirit, cannot hear the gospel. It's foolishness that a man who allowed himself to be taken and beaten and nailed to a cross could save us. That's the mind of the flesh. That's the mind of the flesh. I can remember when I was called into the ministry, and I was baptized in 74. We're talking about 20 years later, 94. I'm thinking to myself, I'm not going to bow to anyone. I'm not going to bow to anything. I'm a Southern man. I'm a police officer. I'm not bowing to anything. I'll bow to the Father because He's God. I didn't understand the Son. I didn't understand Jesus Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God. I'm not going to bow to anything. Well, let me tell you, when you learn the Bible, when God blesses you to see and understand, and you see the love of God and the second person of the Godhead and the Godhead itself who came to this world and laid the glory of God aside and shed His blood for you, then brethren, I am going to bow to Him out of reverential love and fear. But those that are of the world do not have that. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we. Know we. There's that know again. There is that assurance. Hereby know we the Spirit of truth, because it is Christ, the Spirit of Christ. He is truth and the spirit of error, that of the world, that taught all over the world. It amazes me, first of all, that in 1610, the same time the King James Bible was being translated, that a man, Jacob Arminian, came forth with the doctrine of free will and anyone can become a child of God. It was declared heresy in that day. It's still heresy today. Yet it's the most widely accepted lie in the whole world. Hereby know we the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. How do we know it? Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Period. If that's what is being taught, that salvation is of the Lord, it's in the power of God, it's in the wisdom of God, which is Jesus Christ, then it is true doctrine. And there's a reason that we need to contend for this. And I'm not talking about just to give glory to God, because that is the most utmost importance. But to get selfish, the personal reasons. Peace in our heart. Love in our heart. glorifying Christ in our heart. Now, I'm going to go ahead with you a little bit. Verse 7. John has told us, continuing on from chapter 2, actually, about Antichrist and lies and the errors of doctrine, which he established in chapter 1, the beginning, that which we have seen and heard, Christ, 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 the Son of God, God in the flesh. Beloved, verse 7, let us, God's people, love one another. God puts a love in our heart. It is a fruit of the Spirit. Upon birth of the Spirit, there is a love in our heart. Then why do we fight? Why do we split? Why do we hate each other sometimes? God help us. We're sinners. Satan beguiles, Satan attacks, Satan causes problems. Many like Eve are beguiled, and many like Adam choose rebellion, even being God's children. That's why John says, let us love one another. We're told to walk in faith. Every man born of the Spirit has faith. We are to walk in that faith. We are to exercise in that faith. I broke my shoulder last May. I didn't get to exercise until March. My body was withering. I felt like I was ready to die and leave at any time. Hadn't felt that bad in a long time. Let's apply that to faith. Walking without faith. Living in the world. Being apart from the body of Christ. Being apart from the church. Being apart from the teaching of Jesus Christ. We wither away. We need to exercise that faith. We need to walk in that faith. And the same thing with this love, for it's the fruit of the Spirit. Exercise our love. Visit the widows and fatherless in their affliction. Love one another and everything that entails. Helping one another, praying one for another. Beloved, let us, as God's children, love one another. Talking about this earlier, we talked about bearing fruit to God when we love each other. Christ is glorified, God is glorified, and God dwells in us, the love, the peace in our heart, that assurance that God is with us. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. We're going to find later, God is love. Love is of God. If God is not there, there is no love. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. It is possible, we've all seen one who lived a rough life, may have done things that weren't exactly proper in their life, lived a hard life. Many people kill their own selves with things like drugs and whatever. Living alone in misery because they're miserable and hate basically themselves and everybody else too. We see people like that. I shouldn't use the word hate. It appears they hate each other. I use this many times to tell people of someone that may have lived in a way that did not please them. If this brother or sister has love in their heart, they are born of the Spirit of God. The natural man can love nothing but himself. If he loves, not loves sin, not loves hatred and lust and power, he that loves, what is John talking about? Loving the brotherhood, loving the church. I go a step farther. The family is the first institution God created. If a man loves his wife, he's born of God. He can't love anybody but himself by nature. If the woman loves her husband, she's born of God. Because God is love. Without God, there is no love. If God is not in that person, they can love nothing but themselves. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. How does he know God? Because God hath revealed himself to him in Christ. He that loveth not knoweth not God. And I've seen people like that in my occupation. For God is love, period. God is love. Well, somebody's going to pop up in the Arminian world and say, God loves everybody. He's just begging us to come to him. A fellow I worked with, I loved him to death. I trained him for 6-8 weeks. He said, I believe at the last day in the resurrection, the Lord will have a tear in his eye for those that didn't come to him. Long conversation followed that. God loves his people. The Father loves the Son loves the Father. Same with all three in the Godhead. The love of Christ, God gave him a people. The love of the Father, Christ died for those people. The love of the Holy Spirit, the Godhead. And that is God and his love. We can't understand that. But he that has love from that love is born of God. True love is born of God. Does a man do kindness because of love in his heart? He's born of God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested, made known, declared the love of God toward us, his people. Because that God sent his only begotten Son. Time out. This goes back to Christ and him crucified. Jesus Christ did not become the Son of God when he was born of Mary. He did not become the Son of God when the world was created. He has been the Son of God in the realm of eternity. He will always be the Son of God. Now, herein is love. Not that we loved God. Well, let me back up. And this was manifested the love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son. If there is a father, he has to have a child to be a father. If there's a son, he has to have a father to be a son. That's what the words imply. He was begotten of the Father, true. True. When he was made incarnate in the flesh. That did not make him the Son of God. He was already the Son of God. It was manifested to us. When God was born in the flesh without sin in a body of man. He that loveth, and this was manifested the love of God toward us because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. God has many sons. We're born of the Spirit of God. We're adopted. We're married to God. Christ, rather. Second person of the Godhead. God himself. But Christ was born of a woman, a virgin, the only begotten, when she conceived of the Holy Spirit of God. And this was manifested the love of God toward us because God sent his only begotten Son in the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God because we were in our nature away from God, did not know God, could not see God, in rebellion against God, the nature of man hating God himself and loving nothing but the natural man himself. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, we were in enmity with God, but that he loved us. God has always loved you in the realm of eternity. God cannot hate you. He loved you. God changeth not. He loves you. He cannot lie. He loves you. Not that we love God, that He loved us and sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the propitiation, the covering for our sins. I'm going to read another verse and sit down. But I want to, and we'll come back to this to start next week very probably, but understand, we talked about the mercy seat when we went through first chapter of 1 John. That was a covering. It was a covering over the ark of God. Christ covered our sins. We live in sin. Our existence is sin. My breath itself is sin. My heartbeat is sin. My blood is sin. I am the natural man. This body is fallen in Adam. God covered our sin in Christ's blood. Period. He sees it no more. He put it as far away from Him as the east is from the west. Go north. When you make the circle of the globe, you're going to start going south. The two touch. You go east or you go west. The two never meet. As long as you're going east, you're going to go east. As long as you're going west, you're going to go west. The two never meet. That's how far away, as far as the east is from the west. They'll never meet. God will never see it again. Because Jesus Christ is the covering for our sins. Now I'll close and you think about this all week. And we'll take up here next week. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. I love y'all. It is precious to be here. Don't you? Y'all hate me if y'all knew me. If you knew my depraved nature, you'd hate me. But we love each other in Christ. And I thank God for that.